This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's dell.com/deals. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll shoot you straight, as I always like to say before I shoot you straight.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the NBA, bless them, keeps on doubling down on their All-Star game. Really did that. That's what you did. Hoisting up 70-footers. That's what we're doing here.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, former New Jersey Senator and two-time NBA champion Bill Bradley. Actor Mekhi Phifer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I'm genuinely pumped up to talk to Bill Bradley. If you're from the New York City metropolitan area, if you're from New York, New Jersey, and you're my age, this guy is royalty. I mean, this guy is a complete royalty. I'm talking to you youngins out there. 1964 Olympic champion, Princeton grad, New York Knicks, two-time champion, 18-year senator from the state of New Jersey, Bill Bradley, for crying out loud. And that's just part of his resume, which is why he's got a film based on a one-man show that he developed with, by the way, talk about this film adaptation. This is an interesting trio. Frank Oz. Do you know who Frank Oz is? Okay,
yeah, voice of
the director, but also voice of Fozzie Bear and Miss Piggy. Spike Lee and Mike Tolan, who is a legend in the sports entertainment business, they put it all together and they came up with a film adaptation of Rolling Along, an American story. It's streaming right now on Max, which means it's available right here on Roku. Written and performed by Bill Bradley, who's joining us in about 18 minutes' time. I've spoken about this. He's called in before. But I did a SportsCenter commercial. It was me, him, and Stu. And we're going to show that before the interview. And I'll never forget it because it's him trying to talk serious tax policy with us. And all we wanted to talk about was the Knicks and Clyde Frazier's garb. And the finishing line is me saying those short shorts you wore, did they ever give you a wedgie?
Hmm.
And the look of derision that he gives me was, I think, real at the time. And it kind of killed me that he would look at me like this. And I felt like saying, listen, no. Senator, I know this is disrespectful. That's the script. But I think he understood it as well. He's a smart man. He went to Princeton. So basically, I'm going to embarrass myself when he joins. That's what I do in 17 minutes' time.
You had Fozzie and Miss Piggy for Frank Oz, not Yoda.
Oh, he did Yoda too? Okay, that's right. Of course he did Yoda.
A little more famous than Miss Piggy.
I don't know about that, Chris. I'd put Miss Piggy up against Yoda any day of the week.
Wow.
Who's more famous, Yoda or Miss Piggy?
Paul.
There it is. Do not throw Fozzie Bear in there just to split the Frank Oz vote.
I'm not splitting the vote. I'm not splitting the vote. Miss Piggy.
Don't, Yoda. Dude, do not discount Miss Piggy.
Does Frank Oz have Twitter?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog.
Oh, my goodness. That's Jim Henson, but understood. Don't conflate the issue, the Muppets, sir. Yeah, I did. I did go Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear.
Okay.
I went straight Muppets.
Okay.
Gentlemen, it's time for the what appears to be Rich Eisen Consulting needing to unite.
Oh.
Adam Chudwin, our call screener, when he takes phone calls, he places into our screen here the subject matter that the caller would like to hit. This does appear to be Rich Eisen Consulting needing to unite to help out. Because the best thing about us is that it's about us. Andrew in Erie, Pennsylvania. That's our setup for your phone call. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for making it.
I'm a caller, and I've been watching your show for a couple years now. And okay. I got to thank you guys for really getting me back into sports more so than I was.
All right.
I think you guys have a really entertaining and, you know, I love the positive energy of the show as well, you know, more so than some of the other shows that are out there.
Appreciate that. How can we help, Andrew? How can we be of service at Rich Eisen Consulting, Andrew?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a crisis of faith with my Dallas Cowboys fandom right now.
Is that right?
I am a lifelong Cowboys fan. I'm from Western Pennsylvania, and I'm 37.
It's
so
my people.
They were awesome when I was a little kid. But I'm considering walking away. I'm considering heading up to the mall here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and buying myself a Josh Allen jersey. I'm hopping on the Bills Mafia bandwagon because I'm tired of the Cowboys. I kind of want off the roller coaster and just wanted to see what you guys thought about it. You know, I know TJ is also a Cowboys fan from Western PA. I thought who better to talk to than you guys about it.
Now, Andrew, going to be an important decision made on your behalf, but this is going to test the cohesiveness of Rich Eisen Consulting, of Rich Eisen Show Consulting, because, as you know, the best thing about us is it's about us.
It's about us.
And even though on the screen for our consulting, our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, is not on the screen, he is a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Buffalo Bills fan. And I'm sure he would welcome you happily into the mafia. But TJ, you are, I guess, the cowboy expert of our consulting firm.
I think that's
how would you counsel Andrew? Because
I have a question first. TJ, we know where you're going to lean. We know where Mike in the back is going to lean. Rich and I are kind of neutral here. I want to know, you're from Western PA, right? That would lend you to be
the Steelers.
First off, I lived in Erie when I was a baby. Why are you not a Steelers fan, and why did you become a Cowboys fan originally?
Okay. Well, the Steelers, everyone here either absolutely adores the Steelers or absolutely hates them. I'm in the hates them, you know, camp. And I became a Cowboys fan because my dad was a Cowboys fan. So this is like, you got family dynamics and all kinds of stuff going on here. Okay. If I go down this route, you know, it's going to be some interesting conversations there.
That makes sense. Makes
now,
sense.
Also,
it's 90 minutes away from me.
Hour and a half.
Actually go to the games.
Okay.
Pittsburgh
okay.
and Cleveland are close too, but.
Plus,
but yeah,
also.
You know, I've been liking some of these other teams, and, you know, I thought.
If you do the math, and
I could actually go to the games. I could go shovel out my own seat. I kind of like that they play like real outdoor football. I kind of miss that. I'm a Penn State guy, so I like that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, all right. Let me hop in here. Let me hop in here. Let me hop in here, and then I'll tell you where I'm going to land on this. Is that I'm doing the math in my head.
There is less pie.
You're 37. When the Cowboys won their last Super Bowl, you were an impressionable young man of about probably 7 or 8. You're asking, why wasn't he a Steeler fan? Did you see Neil O'Donnell's performance in that Super Bowl against the Dallas Cowboys?
True,
okay.
True.
So if you're an impressionable 7, 8, 9-year-old in Erie, PA, and your dad loves the Cowboys,
it's passed
your
down. Yeah, exactly.
But now, at this point in time, I mean, now he's got to turn his back on him. And we're going to turn it into this. If you're the consulting firm that we are, wouldn't you think the Bills are closer or have a better shot to make Andrew a happier man in the next 5 years than the Dallas Cowboys?
Another great poll question.
Wouldn't you even admit this, TJ?
Well, Rich, if I look back, what Super Bowl are we on now? 53.
8.
58, yeah. So we look back over the 58 years of Super Bowls and the previous 40-some years of the NFL before the Super Bowl.
Hold on, man. Let me dust off the record books.
Whatever, man. Whatever. The fact of the matter is, and I don't want any beef with Bills Mafia, because Bills Mafia has been actually very cool to me, and they're one of the cooler fan bases out there.
Yeah, but now you're at odds. Now we have to make a choice here.
Andrew, as a guy from Western PA who is a Penn State fan, who grew up a Cowboys fan, who didn't like the I like the Steelers. I just didn't like Steelers fans. Bro, no. Because here's the deal. One day the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super
That's
Bowl.
That's what I'm
again.
Saying.
And when that happens, bro, it is going to be the most glorious thing of all time. Now, with Buffalo, no offense, Buffalo's never sipped from the cup, so to speak. They've never held the championship belt above their head at WrestleMania. They've never won a championship. And again, no disrespect, because I do like Bills Mafia. But, bro, you're talking 8 Super Bowls. You're talking the premier franchise in sports.
But
value-wise, I would just say stay the course. If that was your dad's favorite team and you guys have those memories together, the reason I'm still a wrestling fan was me and my grandpa. That was our thing. That's why I could never stop being
heartstrings.
A fan of wrestling. So if that was your dad's squad and you guys have that,
goodness.
Is your dad still alive? Can I ask you that, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bro. Imagine you and your pops getting to sit together and watching the Cowboys in the Super
Feel
Bowl.
The dreams. Does he come out of the corn too?
Like, come
my
on,
goodness,
dog.
Look at you.
There ain't nothing better
this
than
is I would get, so touching.
My dad passed. I would give anything to be able to sit and watch a boxing match with my dad because that was our thing. So I'd say stay the course, bro. You know, I there's a lot of downs, granted, but if the tide does turn and they are able to right the ship and win, bro, it's going to be the most glorious thing in the world.
Hold on a second, Andrew. From the back, Rich Eisen, show coordinating producer, who's
well done,
definitely
TJ.
Part of RES Consulting. That was terrific. Well done. Mike Hoskins says, I have a retort, which is very rare. Here it is. He's putting it on the screen. Oh, it's Josh Allen just leapfrogging over Justin Reed, basically showing him who's kind of boss, like scraping, you know.
Here's what I will say.
Israel Adesanya style, right?
I love TJ's passion. I love it. And it made me think about when the Red Sox finally won the World Series, it was one of the greatest things of all time. Although I didn't have
given up on him.
But I didn't have 70 years of pain like a lot of other people. Yes. However, the more I think about it, you know how obnoxious Cowboys fans are going to be when they eventually win a Super Bowl? It's going to be nothing like the great vibes when Buffalo finally wins the first.
Oh, my goodness.
Andrew, go to Bills Mafia.
Okay. So I've got to make a decision here to just put it in here?
Sure, break the tie.
I do. TJ, you really tugged at my heartstrings. You know how to talk my language right
I'm
there.
I'm saying, man.
Because it's someday, you know, it's going to mean a lot, father and son sticking together. But
Andrew, do you have a son? You have any kids? Son, daughter?
No, I have a brother, but he doesn't care about football like at all, or sports in general.
Okay,
but,
nieces, nephews?
Look at this guy.
He's
little nephew. He's like 1, though. He hasn't.
So imagine about his little nephew and dad all watching.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
gracious.
Bro, I'm going to tear up now. Get the camera off me. I'm going to start crying.
Okay. Just think about how obnoxious Cowboys fans are.
Could you imagine
be.
What it must feel like to root for Josh Allen?
I love Josh. I love Josh Allen.
I mean, but to really like dedicate
yourself.
You
wish you had Josh Allen instead of Dak. Be honest.
Come on, man, don't put me in that position.
He would in a heartbeat.
Y'all in a heartbeat.
Seriously, Dak? Who? Who's Dak?
Stop.
Who's Dak?
Who's Dak?
I don't even know who he is anymore.
So you stop that,
Andrew. I think you know what the answer is from RS Consulting.
Yeah, stay.
I think so. Thanks, guys.
You got Andrew in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Andrew, just know though, if you leave, there's no refunds. There's no return
tickets.
It's marvelous.
Says a guy. By the way,
there's less pie. There's less pie.
By the way, this guy saying you need to stick with your team, and he's got as a backstop 19 other teams from
football.
4 different sports.
We're talking NFL right
says
now.
His backstop.
Yeah, but he has the one NFL team. I will give
one
him
one NFL.
That.
And by the way, those teams are grandfathered in. It's not like I picked up a new one recently.
What does that mean, grandfathered?
Well, you were going to add the Spurs.
Well, that's Wemby. Look, the Mets since 86, the Clippers since 99, Duke since 90, Georgetown since like 82.
I will never forget Bomani Jones for the first time saying Duke and Georgetown and looking at you like, who are you, man?
Yeah, I mean, look, he had issues.
All right, look at this. RS Consulting, we stuck together.
It's 30-plus years with all those teams.
But normally our votes are not split, though.
Another satisfied customer. Well, you knew we were going to get one.
Yeah, I mean, obvious.
Descent, so. You know.
I wouldn't call
Brian
it descent.
In Los Angeles, let's take his call before you get to Bill Bradley. What's up, Brian?
Rich, always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Brian? How you been? Congrats.
Oh, I appreciate the congrats. Yeah, I've got the day off, so I'm spending it with you guys.
I did not know this was the Brian in Los Angeles from our household. This is a man who has coached every single one of my children.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was wondering why you were congratulating
By the way, the fact that I can...
Chiefs fan, Brian.
You're like one of the only people who could say that, Brian. So there you go.
And I'm proud to say that. Thank you.
Anybody that can coach two more points out of Xander Eisen deserves to be coach of the year.
Is Brian Chiefs fan, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Brian in L.A.
Yes, Brian. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm the one that litters your Twitter feed, too. I apologize.
Please.
All good.
So what's up?
So it's always good to have a second opinion, and I want to call in and kind of debate RES Consulting for a second. Andrew, I'm sorry if you're not on anymore, but I do want to talk to you about possibly joining a new kingdom.
Now, I
know what you're thinking right now, and TJ, you could think about it too. Sometimes you just need a fresh start. And as Dallas Cowboy fans will tell you, you are not going to get a fresh start until you leave. And, you know, you've tasted that greatness once in your life. I think he was 37, Andrew was. So he's tasted that sweetness. It's time to come over to the kingdom. And anybody is welcome. All doors are open.
Hey.
You're welcome to jump on. You're welcome to enjoy the ride. It's been amazing.
And there's a DNA. Lamar Hunt was a Dallas Texans owner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got something, Chris?
That's true.
Andrew in Erie is not Kevin Durant, okay? He's not going to join the team that beat him.
That's true, too.
Think about how much sweeter it's going to be when the Bills finally get over that hump.
Well, you don't want to join a team that's
got three rings. You know what I mean?
Brian, you're the best, man. We got to run. We'll chat soon, brother. That's Brian in
LA.
Good
to talk to you.
There you go. The great Chiefs fan of Los Angeles.
So that's true. He's not a Bills fan yet.
He's not a Bills fan yet. So,
but still.
I love it.
Look, any argument that someone's going to give to become a Chiefs fan, look, I can't argue that with you.
Because when's this going to stop? Of hopping on a bandwagon,
well,
though.
We got to take a break because as old school as I assume Bill Bradley is, he's got the Tom Coughlin rule of showing up 5 minutes early.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's take a break. And we're back on the other side with the great two-time NBA champion and longtime United States Senator and one of my idols growing up, Bill Bradley, coming up next. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, EISEN, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Roku Channel Radio, we'll rejoin in 2 minutes' time, and that's when we'll get Bill Bradley on our Zoom screen. And I'll never forget the day when I was at ESPN early aughts. I was on a Sports Center for about 4 or 5 years, and they come up to me and say, "You want to be in a Sports Center commercial with Bill Bradley?" I'm like, "Are you serious? Really? Yeah. Okay. It's you, the senator, and Stuart Scott." I'm like, "Really? Okay. Sure. Of course. Kid from Staten Island, Knick fan, totally."
So they would give you kind of a heads up.
Yeah,
who you're
like,
be in the
and then they show me the script.
Nice.
And then I read the script and I'm like, "I'm going to say that to Bill Bradley? Really?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "I don't know. Do you think he'll be finding this funny?" They're like, "He knows." I'm like, "All right." He's trying to explain tax policy to Stuart and I, and we're not buying it. We were asking him silly questions. Check it out.
People think all we care about are sports. That's just not true.
The income tax system is a bad joke. It's so complicated and unfair. That's why we need tax reform.
Was Willis Reed really injured?
With lower rates and fewer loopholes, you'll be able to keep more of each additional dollar you earn.
Those big fur coats that Clyde have, did you ever wear one?
The best tax rate is the lowest possible tax rate for the greatest number of people.
So those short shorts, they would give you a wedgie.
Just him like, why are you asking me?
Exactly. And the look he gave me, I literally thought to myself, I've been dreaming about meeting Bill Bradley my whole life. And here you're staring a hole through me. And they're like, Rich, it's acting. Nice. So, that was it. And he did a great one with Keith as well, with Bob Lee, I think, for a job interview he won as well. Oh, back in the day.
So fun.
SportsCenter. And now I get to have him on the show as a guest. Very excited about all of that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Joining us right now on Zoom is an icon in North American sports and, of course, the United States Senate and so much more. Rolling Along, an American Story, is available for streaming right now on Max, which is available on Roku, the autobiographical film that is written and performed by the great Bill Bradley. Look who's joining us now live on the Rich Eisen Show, Bill Bradley. How are you, sir?
Great, Rich. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. We just showed our old SportsCenter commercial back in the day.
Well. The one with Keith, I think, actually won an Emmy or something. I forgot.
That was the one where you were in a job interview.
And his line was at the end, "No, I mean a really difficult job."
Yeah, right. As if 18 years in the Senate is nothing. So, right. why this story? I know it was something you've been working on for 6 years, developing and performing and writing it as an onstage. One-man play, but walk me through your decision to do this film.
Well, I wanted to tell my story in hopes that in telling my story with great candor, that it would encourage other people to tell their stories, and that all of our stories is the American story, and it emphasizes our common humanity. What I've done is much more a human story than a hero's story. And it's a performative autobiography. I did it in the end of 21. We filmed it, and now it's a film on Max. And I feel that I said what I wanted to say, and I hope that it, in the process of doing that, it encourages other people to tell their stories.
Well, I guess writ large, what is it that you want to say? Obviously, at a very crucial part of all of our existences right now.
Well, yeah. I think the most critical, the most important line in the film is where I say, we're in such a divided country today that maybe we could learn something from what made the Knick team successful so many years ago. Take responsibility for yourself, respect your fellow human being, disagree with them openly, honestly, civilly. Enjoy their humanity and never look down on people you don't understand.
Well, let's take that.
That in a core is the essence of the film.
So let's take that one at a time here, because the civil discourse has essentially disappeared. And many of the reasons why, I think, to be honest with you, is this phone that I have in my hand right here. You know, is that people can fire back at your opinions, and your opinions aren't completely thrown out there because there's a certain amount of characters in which you can say it. And then somebody who doesn't have to say something to your face or put their face up on the screen when they say it to you fires back. And then you kind of feel like the world is closing in on you on that conversation. I'm wondering if, and then of course it's the demonizing of the others. Where you ascribe demonic intentions to somebody who is just trying to have a thoughtful conversation. I'm wondering, did you see the development of that in your 18 years in the Senate, Bill? Did you sense any of that?
Well, when I left the Senate, I left in part because I thought there was way too much money in politics and that the extremes began to take over. This is much more today, and it's exacerbated by social media. But my grandmother's thought is still relevant. Never look down on people you don't understand. I mean, the real reality is that when we were growing up, you know, our parents or our coach would tell us, if you lose, congratulate the winner. That's just what it is. And you act out of honor, not out of grievance. And you know that if you work hard and have humility, you can achieve excellence. And that's how you take care of your family. And if enough Americans did that, then the whole country would advance. These are givens. People know that. As long as politics is at a level of R&D or blue and red, you ignore the common humanity that everybody has. And to me, the whole thrust of my effort in the film is to focus on our common humanity as human beings, as Americans, and not on whether we were Republicans or Democrats. Now, will that help? I hope that it'll lead to some healing along the way, but we'll see.
Rolling Along, an American Story, available for streaming now on Max, written and performed by the man on whose life it is based, and it is Bill Bradley here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's available on Max, available right here on Roku. So I imagine the first time you represented the United States in anything was the 1964 Olympic Games, right, in Japan. I was just going down the memory hole, Bill. Larry Brown was a teammate of yours on that 1964 gold medal.
Larry Brown played for Goodyear Tire and Rubber. He and Pete McCaffrey, and that's when AAU teams had representatives on the Olympic team. Yeah, when we were there, I thought we'd end up playing the Soviet Union in the final, and you know, I made a in the Olympic Village. You ate. Not with your country, but just ate as human beings. And I got to know a Russian who was a guard. And that's when I was an evangelical Christian. And so I went into Tokyo and bought a Bible in Russian and gave it to him. He didn't quite know what it was about. Well, what was it? Why did you do this? But that's what I did in those days. And the Olympics was a great experience, you know, standing on the platform, gold medal around your neck and hearing the national anthem playing, chills going up and down your spine. It was a unique experience. It wasn't the greatest basketball in the world, but it was a great experience, and I'm glad I had it. And Larry Bird was on that team, no question. Not Larry Bird, Larry Brown was on that team.
Right, back in that day. And then when did you first meet Red Holtzman and realize that the Knicks were something special?
Well, I think I met Red when I was thinking of becoming a Knick. You know, I went to college. Instead of going into the pros, I went to Oxford for 2 years. And then I decided one day I was out shooting baskets alone in the first gym Oxford had in 700 years. And I decided, you know, I really love the game. And so I wanted to come back and play. And so when I came back to deal with the Knicks, that's when I met Red. He was a scout at that point. Mm-hmm. And then in my first year, there was a change made. He came as coach. He was a great coach. He had only three rules: hit the open man on offense, help out on defense, and the hotel bar belongs to me.
Did you follow those rules?
I certainly did. All three of them.
What's your favorite Clyde story, your favorite Walt Frazier story that might either sum up your relationship with him or just his greatness and personality altogether?
Yeah. Well, I was introducing him at some event. I forget where it was. And it wasn't a big event, but, you know, there were people there. And so I said, there's no question that the greatest seventh game in the NBA Finals ever played was played by Walt Frazier. He had 36 points and 19 assists. Mm. And then he interjects and 13 rebounds.
That's right. Yeah. That's a nice triple-double.
Then he also had 4 or 5 steals. So Clyde is just a wonderful human being. He was a health food person before it was popular. He was eating seeds when everybody else was eating hot dogs. And he always took care of himself, always slept. And I think I'm so glad that he's in two Hall of Fames, right? He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame and the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He deserves it. He's worked hard for it, and he's a good man.
He sure is. Did Phil Jackson evince the greatness of a future coach when you were playing with him?
I never thought of Phil as a coach when I played with him. But as I look back, he looked at the game analytically. He was totally unselfish. He was somebody who was very disciplined. And all those things went into becoming a great and perhaps the greatest coach in the NBA history.
Bill Bradley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little bit about the here and now, if you don't mind. Jalen Brunson, what do you think of when you watch him play and just hear his name right now, Bill?
I like the way he plays. He is learning to make the worst player on the team better. He's making each of his teammates maximize their abilities. And the more he does that, and the more he has a team that hustles and has a commitment of unselfishness, the better he's going to be. I mean, the name of the game is the maximum player movement, ball movement that rewards unselfishness. And as long as the Knicks do those things, move the ball and play unselfishly, and he is the guy, the point guy that starts that, they're going to do well.
He also seems to have raised the level of his game, though, considerably. I mean, he is just ascending isn't even the proper word for him.
Yes, he can. He's at a critical path. He can take the path of his considerable individual skills, average a lot of points, or he can be a champion. And I think he'll score less points, but his teammates will be better, and then they have a chance of being a great team.
And
I like him because he seems to be the leader on the team too, which is really good for one of the best players.
Well, and if you've been in that building for decades, it's rare to see a player do what he's doing and plug into the fans and have that building plug into him. There's an it factor that is so rare to be seen in Madison Square Garden right now with him.
I think that's true, but I think we have to be careful about the it factor being only to Jalen. I think Jalen would be the first one to say, and Thibodeau, it's to the team, the way the team plays. Because one player is not going to win the championship. And I think that the fans sense there's something going on there. When you win 13-2 in January, that's great. That's great. That's certainly as good as we ever did, except when we win 19 in a row. But I think that they have to do that in February and in March, and then we'll see where they go from there. But the potential is enormous.
So in your multiple All-Star games that you played in, how competitive were those All-Star games, Bill?
I was only in one.
I didn't play you played in multiples. Okay, so.
No, I only played in one.
Only one. Okay.
But the All-Star games were competitive. It was always seen as a different kind of game. If you were you wanted to win for your team, but it wasn't like winning for your team, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It was a group of guys who had a certain pride, and their pride now was they were against other really great players, and they wanted to win. So people wanted to win. It wasn't some exhibition of shooting. It was they want to win. So they played defense, they passed the ball, and they scored. And the most valuable player usually deserved it. And, but it wasn't. It was always seen as a break between what was really important, which was your season.
So in the few minutes I have left with you, who's the best player that you played against?
The best player I played against was John Havlicek. He was the man I guarded. There were other great players, obviously Kareem, but or Wilt or Jerry West, but I didn't guard them. And so it was John Havlicek because he always moved without the ball. The Celtics got him the ball at just the right time, and he never stopped. And so he was the most difficult player for me to guard.
So then who was the best player not on your team that you stepped on the floor with? How about that one? You just named
not
some
in
others.
My team. Yeah, that's a good question. I never played with Michael Jordan. He would be my first pick.
He would.
But the best player would be probably either Oscar or Jerry West.
Yeah.
One of the two.
I think I saw Oscar at the All-Star game in Indianapolis just the other day, yeah. As a matter of fact.
That's real old school.
No doubt. Why would you choose Jordan number one? Obviously, you know LeBron, and there's a whole conversation that involves the two of them. But
I don't get into these comparisons against eras, because it used to be when the Bulls were good, they would say, how would your Knicks do against the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. Let's just go down the matchups. Okay, Frazier versus B.J. Armstrong, Frazier. I go right down the list and say, now it's Bradley versus Pippen. And Bradley saying, help!
But the Knicks would have the advantage of taking the Bulls' coach off their team and throwing it on the bench, right?
Yeah, right.
Let's see how the assistants do, because Phil's suiting up with you, I'd imagine. You know, like that would have happened back in that day. But what did you like about Jordan when you saw him play, Bill?
His absolute competitiveness and his ability to make the worst player on his team good, and his dedication to the team. I've never seen a competitor that was as intense as he was at the right moments. And I'm not a player. I'm a fan watching.
Yes.
So that was my conclusion.
Bill Bradley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so before I send you on to your Tuesday, you mentioned the message that you'd want rolling along an American story to give. What message would you give to all of us at this juncture of our lives in this election year, Bill Bradley? What message would you like to tell everybody? Get off your chest. Use maybe this platform to communicate to folks.
I would say don't tune out. Reach out. If you're a citizen, it's hard work. And the part of the work is voting. Part of the work is getting other people to vote. Part of the work is paying attention. And we get what we ultimately select. And so I would say to the people, your role in the democracy is about to go into high gear, perform it conscientiously well, and make your judgment based on knowledge and your own set of values.
But go out and definitely use your vote, clearly.
Go out and you not only use your vote, but get involved and work for other people, you know, other candidates.
Bill, I really appreciate the time here, and congrats on your film, Rolling Along, An American Story. You could see it on Max through this Roku portal. And I don't care. I always will say these things to people who I admire and grow up admiring. You are an icon in my world, sir, and this is an honor to have you here.
Well, thank you, Rich. I really appreciate it. And let me know what you think of the film.
Absolutely, sir. I cannot wait for everybody to check it out right here on the Roku portal. Bill Bradley, Rolling Along, An American Story, is available for streaming right now on Max, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thank you for joining.
I'm happy to join you, and it might surprise you.
Okay, I look forward to it. Very good. Bill Bradley right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Bye.
Stuff right there. Nice. Havlicek. I looked over at you.
Mm-hmm. One of the most underappreciated superstars of all time, TJ. I say
that is
time
a fact.
And time again.
That's a fact.
Look at Hondo's numbers.
He was a beast.
One of the best.
He's the one who had to guard him.
That had to be amazing for you.
What, for me, right there?
Just right there. I mean, even though you did the commercial and stuff, anytime to like a childhood hero like
that.
Oh,
yeah,
just,
of course.
It's great.
Although I should have been more prepared. I'm stunned you played in only one All-Star game. 1973, that's it.
Wow.
There was a lot of competition in the guard position back in those
1973,
days.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. His number 24 is retired.
Yep. I was looking at that this morning. I'm kind of shocked he's not in the Hall of Fame. Not in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
He is in the Basketball Hall of Fame as a player.
He is?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it right here.
I didn't see that this
morning. No, he's in the college.
College Basketball
well.
Hall of Fame.
No, he's in the pro. He's in the
Nation. Oh, Basketball Hall of Fame as a player. Got it.
Yep. Nope.
And Chris, you're speaking
down
of
far enough.
Hondo, Havlicek, 13-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA, 8-time All-Defensive Team. 8-time NBA champion.
And I just love it. You know, so I'm dribbling in the gym in Oxford, and I'm thinking, you know what? I kind of like this game.
700 years.
Said this was the first gym in 700 years.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the court's kind of, you don't have to sign up for court time in Oxford, I guess. Just back in the mid-60s.
So they're shooting by
himself. My goodness.
He wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, still to come. Like top five NFL spring storylines. And Daniel Jeremiah, when we come back, his mock draft is 2.0. Chris Brockman, you're going to like it, I think.
This episode is brought to you by Pepsi Wild Cherry. Pepsi Wild Cherry is bursting with delicious cherry flavor and a sweet, crisp taste that gives you more to go wild for. Getting wild may look different these days, but whether it's opting for a solo Friday binge watch or a big night out, everyone can indulge in their wild side with Pepsi Wild Cherry, also available in Zero Sugar. So grab a Pepsi Wild Cherry and get wild.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Margie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
We have a game that we play here called Start, Bench, Cut.
Okay.
Sort of like the you know what, marry, kill game.
Yeah.
Okay. Where we give
keep
you,
it clean.
We try. Yeah.
Goodness.
Well, start, bench. Well, we make the
goodness
of the
rich
of that, you know, the marry part is the bench part.
Okay.
Okay. So we give you three. Here we go.
Start now.
Bench. Just sit down and be quiet.
Or cut.
Get up.
All right. Start, bench, cut here with Kevin Hart. Here are your three choices to play basketball at, have it as a teammate.
Okay.
The Rock, Cube, or Will Ferrell. You have to start one of them.
All right. Well, I'm going to
start. Bench one, or you've been in movies with all of these guys.
Yeah, I have. I'm going to start Will Ferrell.
You start Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
Jackie Moon gets to start.
Jackie Moon gets to start. Just because I know that he's got the passion behind the game.
Okay.
His spirit is always high. I'm going to cut The Rock. I'm going to cut him.
He's out. Out? Wow.
He's out.
Why?
His attitude.
Oh.
His attitude. His attitude. I don't like his attitude.
And you're going to bench Cube? You're going to bring Cube off the bench as
I'm
a sixth man?
I'm going to bring Cube off the bench. I'm bringing Cube off the bench because Cube is too cool to play the whole game. So there's going to be moments where Cube look at his sneaks and be like, I just realized I'm messing these up. And I'm like, you're right, Cube. You okay. Sit out for a second and get your new pair of sneaks. You got to keep him calm, you know? You don't want him giving you, you like just getting upset. I got to make sure that tomorrow's going to be
he'll
a good
have
day.
Sunglasses on. It's too
yeah,
dark.
Yeah, it's going to be real
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And plus, it's a smart move here with Will's the tallest of them all. Nice Will's inside tall. Out game with you.
Yeah, me and Will are going to dominate. I got to start Will. But the Rock's out of here. He's cut. Bye.
Oh, yeah, man. Kevin Hart's appearances, plural, on this show can be found on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Roku channel. And guess what? Our radio audience is back on the Roku channel feed. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Mekhi Phifer in studio, hour number three. A great, I refer, great. Celebrity True or False coming up with him. It'll be a lot of fun. That's an hour number three. I got a top five list as well. Let's go to Rich in Temecula, California. What's up, Rich? How are you, sir? Great
What's
name.
What's up, Rich, man? How you doing? I'm glad you're back and feeling better.
I appreciate that.
In Vegas,
me
man.
Too.
How
me
are
too.
You?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind, Rich?
Yeah, not much, man. I was talking earlier. I was thinking about that whole because I went to Washington State. So mm-hmm. I got a little feeling about the Cougs and Oregon State and how the whole Pac-12 thing went down. And
yep.
I was kind of complaining a little bit how Texas A&M and Texas have raised $170 million, and there's a bunch of schools of 70 to 80. You know, we're sitting like 20 or 30. It's kind of like the Yankees versus the Royals. And we kind of get pushed into the Mountain West, which is all right. There's a lot of competition there. We'll vie for that 5+7. And, you know, I just wanted to comment on that. I think that there should be some form of a collective bargaining. If you're going to pay all the athletes, whether it's a girl on the golf team or a football player, although football brings in, what, 50, 60% of the revenue. I think basketball is 20 and the rest is the rest, right?
I don't know those numbers, but yes, football like usually is driving the proverbial monetary bus.
The proverbial dollar, but within that context, it's still your student athlete.
Yeah.
You're still within the context of that team. Let's call it a team, your athletic department. Like Oklahoma, I believe they're paying all their guys. Everybody gets $50,000 a year or something like that at the University of Oklahoma. Everybody else is kind of all over the map. Give it a level playing ground here, and then let's say if you're All-American, you get a bonus of $50,000 or $100,000, or if you're, you know, All-Academic or something to that effect, we'll put it in trust when they graduate, get them another little bonus, and then they can have some form of a real estate deal or some form of a start in life as a student-athlete. I've been there. It's hard to even play in college. So I just want to throw that out there with you guys. Welcome back. And
thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
All right over there.
The whole idea, and thanks for the call, brother. Listen, money is absolutely what's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, for the lack of a better analogy and phrase, between who's going to be in and who's going to be out in a college football world. We called it the minute the Super League exploded and then imploded across the pond. It happened right around NIL happening, if I'm not mistaken. I think it did.
I think it was 3 years ago.
And so as soon as the Super League hit, on this show, I'm like, the only way the Super, because there was a conversation about what if the NFL did that? What if baseball did that? What if basketball did that? And I'm like, the only way, the only spot where it could happen is college football, period. College athletics, you can make the case. I think Chip Kelly, before he took the job in Ohio State, just think about, again, a head coach of UCLA football says, I'd rather be an offensive coordinator in this universe. I'd rather just focus on a scheme. I'd rather sit in a meeting room than make sure I'm dealing with collectives, I'm dealing with transfer portals, that I'm having meetings about who's coming in, who might be leaving us. I'd much rather just be an X's and O's guy and leave that to someone else. Chip Kelly made that conscious decision. That just happened. And he's reading some writing on the wall. So the way it's going to work is at some point, we're going to see enough of the, I guess, we've already seen the expansion of multiple conferences and the destruction of another. That's happened. And at some point, the like-minded revenue schools are going to get together and say, this is our league. And these are the rules with paying players. The contracts are going to be this. The union is going to be that. Yes, this is the way it's going to go. And the only question would be, is there some sort of totally making it like overseas football? Is there a relegation? If you don't do well enough, you go to another conference, another setup, what, FBS2? And you fall there, and if you win enough, you get to get back into the main one. And then, like Chip Kelly suggested, before he took the gig in Ohio State, that's just football. Everybody else can go back to the way it all used to be, because the so-called lesser revenue sports, I mean, what are you going to send a golf team all the way across the country, a lacrosse team all the way across the country, because the Big Ten now goes from sea to shining sea? I mean, that's the way it's going to go. Period. Let's go to Matt in Oklahoma. What's up, Matt? How you been, brother?
How you doing, Rich?
Are you welcoming a Cowboy fan into Bills Mafia?
Every day of the week and twice on Sunday, I hate that team.
That makes
sense. I live in Oklahoma, Rich, so this is maybe a little bit of a counseling session. I live in Oklahoma.
Okay.
We have a bunch of bandwagon Cowboys fans who make me want to barf. And now we have a bunch of Chiefs fans. And I know the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback, whatever. The fans are horrible. I live in the middle of sports hell, basically, when it comes to the NFL. And I'm here with my Bills hat on.
Okay.
On my mountain.
Yeah.
I just
I can't take it. He needs to. And then you had a Chiefs fan calling right after. I'm like, you've got everything. You've got everything. Leave us alone. We don't need your comments, okay?
Well, I mean, what? How are Chiefs fans? Like, so what is the interaction between you and an Oklahoma-based Chiefs fan?
Oh, my God, they're horrible.
What do
they're
you mean?
They're bandwagon fans. They didn't – before Patrick Mahomes got there, they bounced from Chiefs to Cowboys, and they were Chiefs. It was in the back of the closet. Now the Chiefs are winning because of Mahomes, and they're just – they're unbearable.
So God, you're saying the Oklahoma Chiefs-based Chiefs fans weren't into the – Steve DeBerg, Steve Bono?
No, they can't name. I have a little quiz I give them, Rich,
okay.
When I ask them, when I walk up to them, and they say, oh, I'm a lifelong Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, name me two of the players, not name Mahomes, Kelsey, or Andrew, anybody. And most of them can't do it. I'm like, just don't be a poser, man.
Matt, I'll give you a hug. Through. Here we go. Everybody, here comes the hug from Matt. Here comes
one more,
the hug.
One more thing.
Sure.
One more thing, Rich.
Yes, sir.
You can tell Andrew that he can keep those 95 Cowboys championship shirts because – they're never going to win another championship in his lifetime.
Oh, Matt in Oklahoma. I love how you're like talking about the decorum in your direction. Then you give a nice little parting shot to TJ.
Yeah,
thanks.
You got to. You got to do it. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
They'll be okay. He'll be okay with his daddy with those for nostalgia.
There you go.
The answer is always Yoda.
Thank you. There you go. There you go. Okay. Matt in Oklahoma said always Yoda.
Always.
What do you got for the poll question results?
Oh, it's not even close. Who's more famous, Miss Piggy or Yoda? 81%
Yoda. Okay.
You know, just two things about what Matt said. First of all, he said he's surrounded by bandwagon Cowboys fans. Like, where are there bandwagon Cowboy fans? Like, where are people who are like...
It's a very old bandwagon.
Actually jumping on this wagon recently. That does not exist. And two, he's like, they're never going to win a championship. Matt, I got news for you.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Your team...
Oh, geez.
...has never...
Oh, be careful.
...won before.
Oh,
ever.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hey, facts.
Where's that poll question?
All right.
Land?
Should Andrew and Erie switch his NFL allegiance from Cowboys to Bills Mafia? 73% go to Buffalo.
Go to Buffalo.
Okay.
Tatanka.
We'll see him. Wouldn't it be ABC?
I thought the poll question was who's more likely to win a championship in the next 5 years, Cowboys or Bills?
We can do that,
too. Because that's the most important question.
Let's see who's more likely.
You know, Rich, as I talked with should-be Hall of Famer Daryl Moose Johnston in the airport a few weeks ago, I told him, look, I don't care how long it's been since Dallas has won. Just for me personally, the fact that I got to witness in my prime years of youth, three Super Bowls, and the fact that I got they won one while I lived in Pittsburgh, watched the game with Steeler fans while we were good. I mean, I will take that. If I never win again, it's fine. We got three.
You know what?
We got three.
I witnessed that interaction from afar. I was trying to lip read Mekhi Phifer in hour three coming up. So, you know, here's the problem, though, TJ. How old were you in those mid-90s years?
Like, it was my late teens.
Okay. So people who are that age right now
have never seen I get that.
The Cowboys go any further than the divisional round.
But this ain't about them. It's about me.
No, but I'm talking about somebody like Andrew in Erie, Pennsylvania, for those who might be chiming in right now. He was searching for RES consulting help. He's done with the Cowboys. He grew up with the Cowboys because his dad was a Cowboy fan. He lives in Erie, PA. It's only an hour and a half from Buffalo. Buffalo's doing well. Maybe he's interested in that. And we told him, go north, young man.
No, you told him.
I did.
How old was he?
37.
So he's seen.
I'm 38. I remember them winning.
Yeah, thank you.
No,
I mean,
I was
young.
No. 18-year-olds.
18-year-olds.
Yeah, no, I did that.
People who are currently the age that TJ was when the Cowboys were tripleting.
Well, then become a Chiefs fan.
They have
that's
not,
the only time you're going to
And by the way, I do not blame. Could you blame somebody who has no allegiance
in
the area of Missouri or Kansas?
No.
In the United States, who's...
You should have became one 4 years ago.
What took you so long, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Mahomes is one to root for. Kelsey, all of them, Andy Reid.
Absolutely.
You know, talking about winning and eating cheeseburgers and whatever. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
So what...
Oh, man,
but that's
so
a... That bandwagon looks like it runs on electric. Yours runs on, like, leaded gas.
I know you ain't talking.
Coal.
I know
coal.
You ain't talking.
Coal has been mentioned. Coal has entered the chat.
Thank you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And I should be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.